God from John 20. Might be helpful to have your Bibles open. John 20, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A book I've been reading recently begins with a point that caught my attention. The author writes about the major difference there is when we speak about people who are still alive or who have died. There's a major difference in how we do this. One of the most apparent ways has to do with the verb tense we use, present tense or past tense. It makes a difference, doesn't it, to speak of someone present tense or past tense? He is versus he was. In past tense, there are those fixed boundaries of birth and death, dates that definitively enclose a person's life as we know it, kind of like bookends on a bookshelf. His life, her life was lived from this point to that point, from birth to death. Here are places lived, things done. Here are photos, here are memories, here are stories. But they're all past tense now. As much as we continue to love those people who have gone before us and thank God for them and miss them dearly and at times desperately, life here keeps going in present tense. And they're not here. Not in the day-to-day details of life as we know it, as we deal with decisions and the joys and troubles of each day. But when we speak of someone in present tense, "She's my best friend. He's an amazing person. They're going to do this with me today." It's quite a difference, isn't there? With people who are alive and present with us here and now, we can find out more about them directly from them, not just from the things they've left behind. We can ask questions. We can do things together. The relationship still has a lot of breadth to it, things to explore and to be surprised about. And these people, they can show up at unexpected times and places. I didn't know you were going to be here. Wow, what a surprise. There's dynamic room to grow in relationship and in life with people who are still presently around us. I've been thinking about that a lot today, or a lot these days, as I've been going through some of the things of my dad's. Boxes filled with letters and documents and photos and letters and addresses, names of people I have no idea about, but who they meant a lot to him. A long life story. He died about 7 years ago. And along with my wife, Sid, we are the ones who are sorting things into toss keep piles, trying to keep the keep piles a lot smaller than the toss piles. It's a lot to go through, and I know that a lot of you have done this before, sometimes many times. As I've gone through those things of my dad's, I've had this image of kind of reaching in from the outside, in between those bookends of his life, between his birth and death dates. I reach in and I decide what's important and what's not out of the things he left behind. And having been a follower of Jesus, I know that my dad's life goes on. Not here, but in Christ. It's that powerful resurrection promise that comes into such clear focus in Christ, not just at Easter, but all the time. Jesus told his friend Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. And anyone who and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." That's a promise we can cling to with everything that we've got, because it holds. Everything else about us, our achievements, our investments, whatever markers we make in this life, even memories about us, eventually with time, all those fade. But not that promise. That promise of life that goes on through Jesus Christ. That's a promise my dad knew, and so therefore, I know his life goes on, present tense with Christ, but here is past tense. All this ties back to that book I was mentioning earlier. It's titled Living Jesus. It's titled Living Jesus by Luke Timothy Johnson, a New Testament scholar. And he begins the book with what I was saying about referring to people past tense or present tense and the difference he makes. But then he asks a question that has everything to do with why we're here today. The question is this: do you think of Jesus in present tense or past tense? As being alive or as being dead? Everything hinges on that. Do you think of Jesus in present tense or past tense? If we believe that Jesus died on the cross that Friday afternoon some 2,000 years ago, that he was buried in a tomb, and then somehow his body went missing, and then there were all kinds of stories that were made up about what happened to him next, but nobody really knows. If that's as far as it goes, well, that's a very, very different story than what we're gathered around here today. And frankly, that's as far as it goes for a lot of people, and we know that. Jesus remains past tense. He was, but it's not he is. For many people, Jesus was a great teacher. He was spiritually very attuned. He did incredible things. He made a huge impact in this world. But resurrected? Brought back to life and is still alive today, some 2,000 years after those events, and somehow moves into our lives and speaks to us and walks with us and is with us, for a lot of people that is way too much to swallow. It's too unbelievable. From that perspective, Jesus remains past tense. And I'll just put it out there. Maybe in all honesty, that's where some of you are today. In all honesty. Celebrating Easter because it's a great time to celebrate. It's a great time to gather at the table with family. Maybe have an Easter egg hunt with the little ones later on. But Jesus in present tense, with us, present, moving, active today, that reaches too far. A lot of people are right there, and maybe you are. And if that even describes approximately where you are today, I'm really glad you're here. Not because I'm going to try to arm twist, convince you into believing. Arm twisting never works anyway. But rather because there is another perspective. The present tense Jesus. It's what we find all the way through the New Testament and pointed forward toward in the Old Testament. Here's what Jesus said on his last evening together with his disciples before his arrest and crucifixion. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And then this from John's vision of heaven in Revelation, the last book in the Bible. John saw Jesus, and Jesus said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. It's the Jesus reflected in the call and response that we used at the beginning of worship today and that we'll come back to at the end. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Indeed. I love that word, indeed. Indeed is meant to emphasize that this is incredulous. It's hard to believe. It doesn't make sense rationally, scientifically, biologically, that someone could be so horribly, thoroughly, publicly executed and buried, and then the third day rise again from the dead and still lives today. That is incredulous. Indeed. Pastor Barbara Brown Taylor puts it like this: resurrection is entirely unnatural. When a human being goes into the ground, that's that in earthly terms. You don't wait around for that person to reappear so you can pick up where you left off. You say goodbye and you have to go on with life as best you can with all the grief. But with Jesus, everything changed. With Jesus, it was more than springtime in a cemetery. It was God raising him up from the grave to life, from the old order of things into a completely new order of things forever. Early in that morning, in that Jerusalem graveyard, what happened was the embodiment of what the Apostle John later saw in his vision of heaven in Revelation, where a trumpet sounded, and voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Amen. We'll sing that at the end of worship today. Handel took that from Revelation and built it into his Hallelujah chorus. The kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ is here, and he reigns forever. Amen. Jesus said all this was going to happen. Three times he said that he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to die. In Matthew 20, we read, He's referring to himself as the Son of Man. He said, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, whipped, crucified. And on the third day, he will rise again. Three times. But how could they comprehend that? It was completely unnatural, off the grid, incredulous, indeed. And then it happened. And Mary, who we heard about in the text from John 20 today, she was right at the front end of this. In the darkness before dawn, wearing grief like a heavy winter coat, still traumatized by those horrific events she witnessed at the cross. She went to the grave to look for his body. She wasn't looking for a present tense Jesus. He was past tense. She was looking for his body. It was all that she had left of him was a body to anoint. And now his body was gone too, and she was on mission to find it. And she was so intent on this that even running into two angels in the tomb did not get her off track. She said, if you carried him away, they've taken my Lord away and I don't know where to find him. And then she turned and she ran into the gardener, maybe not even looking at him. She said, sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him and I'll go get him. Like she was going to put his body on her shoulders and walk away with him. And then in an instant, things changed. Mary. Just the voice. Just the name. And that was enough. Mary. A voice can do that to us. A voice we know. A voice that is somehow timbered in a way that it cuts through things and it carries love and history and relationship. And it separates that voice from every other voice, and Mary heard it. Mary. And she knew. She didn't know the hows and the whys of resurrection, bodies coming back to life, but she knew that it was him. And as unbelievable as it was, as unnatural for him to be alive, he was. And she knew it. And she reached out to embrace him, but he said to wait, to go tell the others that he's alive. And so she went. Shouting, I've seen the Lord. All four Gospels tell the same story in different ways. From abject grief moving into total shock, and running and telling and more disbelief, and then stunned, complete awareness. He is risen. And on it goes from there. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said that in those days after his resurrection, he appeared to more than 500 of his followers. And then right before he ascended to heaven, Jesus said, as I told the children earlier, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Present tense Jesus speaking forward to us today. I am with you always. And so it has gone. Out from those days to these days, 2,000 years later, halfway around the globe, Jesus is alive. And it isn't just about that point in history event of the resurrection, as central and order-changing as that is. It's also about what happened and what continues to happen in life after life after life. As people come to know Jesus, present tense, moving, active, speaking into our lives, shaping us according to God's will. So I am here today as a witness to the present tense Jesus and the way he completely changed my life. I'm a witness here today to the present tense Jesus and the way that he has changed life after life after life after life. As incredulous, hard to believe as it may be, there is a ring of truth in this in life after life after life that has come to know the present tense Jesus. My prayer is that for every one of us, that we will move further and further into this life with our risen present tense Lord. As someone who is living and who surprises us, who is with us, who shows up, who accompanies us. And if you don't know him like this, I pray that today might be the day that you realize that he is present, that he invites you into a deeper living relationship with him. I hope you know that he is faithful, that he brings freedom to the bound up, joy to the joyless, hope to the despairing, and that there's more to come. So quoting again, and then I'll close, quoting again from the song John heard being sung in heaven. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that your living presence, present tense, would move deeply and powerfully into every single life here. That we would know that you are with us, that there is more ahead, that you love us, that you died for us and rose again for us, that you have life before us. We pray all of this in your holy and precious name. Amen.